I was coming up to camp, I started going in the wrong direction. I don't know why I did that. I was heading toward the Verrazano Bridge. I would have gotten here eventually, but it may have taken weeks. My GPS kept telling me to get off. And I thought, oh, that thing, it's trying to take me some strange way. But it was trying to talk some sense into me. And I didn't go too far, thankfully. And then I realized that I shouldn't be going to Virginia, I should be going to Brent Lake. So I turned around. And we still made good time, thank God. Praise God. It's been a busy winter, a busy spring, and now we're in summer. And a lot of new things have come into our lives. And we know that Jesus has his hand in everything. And so it's been wonderful to watch him work and to learn better to just commit everything to him and trust him. And all of us have to learn those lessons, and nobody can learn them for you. You have to learn to trust God for yourself. And God knows how to teach you that. He wants to teach you that. He wants to help your faith, help you to believe. I think of Thomas. You know, we think of him as doubting Thomas. Poor fellow. It's the first thing that comes to mind, but, you know, Jesus went out of his way to help that man to believe. He didn't condemn him for his unbelief. He saw that he struggled. But Jesus said, Thomas, you need to see my hands? Okay, here they are. You want to touch my side? Go right ahead. Just don't be faithless, be believing. He wants to bring us onto believing ground. And he knows how to take you where you are and bring you into faith. And a faith that's alive and that makes vital contact with the Lord. Praise God. And so if you're struggling with faith, or you just say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And he'll hear a prayer like that and he'll answer, I'm sure. Praise God. I was teaching Sunday school class not too long ago, and we were looking at the story of the deliverance from Egypt. And there's just a few verses I would like to call to your attention. And it's found in Exodus chapter 7. That's where Moses first appears to Pharaoh. We're thankful for these stories in the Bible where we get a real picture of someone's life. Moses is like that, David is like that, Joseph is like that. The Lord chose to allow us to see his working in their life over many, many years. And we saw that God was working even when they didn't realize that he was. And of course, that's the same with us as well. That's why these stories are in the Bible, to help us to find ourselves in these pages and say, Lord, sometimes it doesn't seem like you're working in my life. I'm sure Moses didn't feel like you were, those 40 years that he was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And I'm sure Joseph didn't feel like you were working in his life, those years when he was sold into slavery and so many injustices came upon him. But as I read the story, I see that you were mindful of him every moment, and you were working out something very wonderful in his life, and you brought it to pass because it was your doing. And so if that's the case, then I'm going to believe that you're working in my life as well. And it pleases him when we trust him like that. In Exodus chapter 7, the Lord tells Moses to appear before Pharaoh and to tell him to let my people go, that they may worship me. And he sent Aaron with him. And we read there in the 10th verse, Moses and Aaron went unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Remember, that was one of the signs that the Lord gave to Moses. He said, well, when I go to Pharaoh, he's not going to believe that you sent me. How can I prove that? And he said, well, take your rod and throw it on the ground. It'll become a serpent. There were some other signs that he gave him as well, to put your hand under your garment and pull it out. It'll turn leprous. Put it back in. Pull it out. It'll be healed. And so on. And so they did that, and just as God said, Moses' rod turned into a serpent, a snake. Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. So they had a stumble home without their rods. That was interesting. Don't you find that interesting that they were able to do the same thing? Now, we don't know whether that was a magician's trick or that was some manifestation of demonic power, but they were able to take their rods and turn them into snakes as well. But God had Moses' rod eat theirs. And then we read that Pharaoh refused to let the people go. Who is this God? I don't know this God that you're talking about. Why should I obey him? And so then the Lord sent Moses to turn the water into blood. And we read that in the 19th verse of the same chapter. And the Lord spake to Moses, say to Aaron, take thy rod, stretch out thy hand upon the waters, and upon the streams, and upon the rivers, and upon the ponds, and the pools of water, that they may become blood, and that they may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. So all the water, all the puddles, all the water that were gathered in pots, all turned into blood as Moses stretched out the rod of the Lord. And so Moses and Aaron did so, and as the Lord commanded, lifted up the rod, smote the waters in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died. The river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. There was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He didn't hearken to the voice, to them, as the Lord had said. Here we see the magicians again at work. Now Moses turns the water into blood, so they turn the water into blood. Amazing. Strange. I wondered, why in the world are they doing that? It's like somebody punches in the nose, so you punch yourself in the nose to see if you're as strong as they are. It doesn't seem to make sense, but they had a reason for it. And then we read in the next chapter, frogs. Praise God. 8:5. And the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron, stretch out your hand over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds. And it says here that cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs started coming out of the water onto the land, covered the land of Egypt, and the magicians did so with their enchantments, and they brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. They're replicating every wonder that Moses is performing. Water to blood, rod to serpents, now frogs coming out of the water. And Pharaoh hardens his heart again. And then we get to verse 16, and there's a change here, isn't there? The Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod, smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. So they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and beast. And the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Well, now it becomes more obvious. They felt that if they could replicate the miracles, the wonders that Moses was performing, then they didn't have to fear. They didn't have to fear that. They had just as much power. They could do just what Moses did. But now they got to a place where they could not replicate what the Lord did through Moses. People have come up with different reasons for that and explanations as to why this miracle was different than others. But the fact is that it proved to them that this came from a power greater than us. This power that brought about this miracle is something that we can't match. And now we need to take notice. This is the finger of God. This is not our magic tricks. This is not demonic power, but this is the finger of God himself. And now they began to view these things very differently. And still Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then there, of course, were many other miracles that were performed. And we didn't read them trying to replicate them at all. They recognized that there was a power behind Moses and Aaron that they could not match. And they couldn't explain it. They couldn't reproduce it. It was the hand of God himself. And as you read through the story, it talks about how the people began to fear Moses and Aaron and respect them and fear their God. And eventually when God opened the way for them to leave Egypt, it says that there was a mixed multitude that went with them. There were Egyptians that put their trust now and feared the living God of Moses and Aaron more than all the gods that they worshipped in Egypt, and they joined themselves to those people. And they left Egypt with them and became one with them. And I thought about that. I thought that was marvelous. That God worked in such a way that people had to recognize that it was God. You know, God would like to do that in our day too. He does, but I'm sure he'd like to do more of it. I'm sure he'd like to do that at Pilgrim Camp. And as I've come for this week, I've been praying, Jesus, just manifest yourself in such a way, in every meeting, to every life, that we will know, we'll leave this place knowing that was God. Brother Kenny had nothing to do with it. Anybody else in the meeting, that was God. God wants to do that. He wants to show his glory in such a way that we know it's God. That there's no doubt about it. We can't explain it. You know, sometimes people try to explain it. Well, if I can explain it, then I don't have to worry about it. Just coincidence, right? We call it a coincidence. And in an attempt to explain it away, that wasn't anything supernatural. That wasn't an answer to prayer. That was just, you know, just happened. That happens all the time to everybody. I may have told a story, but a lady in our church mentioned how some lady used to get up and she used to testify to answers to prayer. God, I prayed about this and God answered and this happened. And a person said, oh, you know, that's just coincidence. You know, you're always saying that God's answering your prayer, but it's just coincidence. And so then she got up and testified and said, I want to thank the Lord because every time I have a problem, he sends a coincidence and answer, you know, works that thing out. Well, that's true. I call it what you want. But if it's God, it's God. I heard someone say years ago in meetings, he said, the problem with our meetings nowadays is you can explain everything that happens. He said, but years ago we used to come to meeting and you couldn't explain. You could not leave that meeting and that was the preacher, or that was just Sister So-and-so, she always does that, or we were just all emotional, and so we thought something happened that, you know, there were things that took place in the meeting that there was no explanation for, but that God himself came, and God himself spoke, and God himself worked. There were healings in there that took place that the doctors couldn't explain. They looked at the x-rays and they knew what the condition was. And now they look at the new x-rays and they say, I have no explanation for that. You, if you want to call it faith or God, that's fine, but we have no reason why that should have happened. And you know, I'm not trying to give the impression that God doesn't work that way anymore and it's always in the past and years ago. Oh, there are many living, up-to-date testimonies of God's marvelous working. And we should have them in our lives as well. When you're in a meeting and God is speaking to you and you know that God is speaking right to you, the pastor didn't know what your problem was or what you were going through or the struggle you were going through or the things that were going through your mind. But as you were hearing the word of God, God was touching upon those things, and you have to leave and say, that was God. God spoke to me in that meeting. I know it. It's gone right into my heart, and I can never be the same. And that's what we're praying this week at Pilgrim Camp, and of course throughout the whole summer as well. And it sounds to me like God has been doing that. I've been talking to different people, and they've been telling me how wonderfully the Lord has come and spoken to them and touched their hearts, and they've really experienced Jesus in a very precious way. And that's what camp is all about. It's about meeting Jesus. It's about just knowing that God has come, that God has spoken. The Apostle Paul talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he says that God would like to manifest himself in such a way that when people come into that place, they know of a certainty that God is there. He reveals the secrets of their hearts. And so we ought to have faith for that. Who is like unto thee? Let's turn to Exodus 15, because that's where Moses, after he gets through all the miracles and finally they cross the Red Sea, then he takes a moment to look back at all that God has done, and he sings this song. And I like this verse in particular, verse 11. Who is like unto thee? O Lord among gods, who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Of course, the answer is obvious. There's none like you. There's no one that can compare with you, Lord, with your power, with your glory, with your victory. There was no one that could get us out of Egypt but you. That was God every step of the way. There was no other way but that God himself would come and set us free. Praise God. And God wants to do that for you in these days. Oh, Jesus. Lord, we pray that you'll show us your glory. Show us what you can do, Lord, that no one else can do. Lord, there's no substitute for your power. There's no substitute for your moving in our midst. There's no substitute for you speaking your word through your servants, Lord. Oh, God, we want to hear you speak to us, Lord. We want to experience your touch, your life-giving, powerful touch in our lives. We want to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit and the fellowship that he brings us into that is so glorious and so satisfying. Lord, there's no substitute for your salvation. It can't be reproduced by any religion, by any means, Lord. You are our Savior. And you have become our salvation. It's God that saves us. Salvation is of the Lord and of the Lord alone. You are the way. You are the truth and you are the life. And so, Jesus, we pray that uniqueness of Jesus Christ will be greatly manifested in these days, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing along these lines. Open our souls to your working, Lord. Make us responsive to the moving of the Holy Ghost. Let us hear your word. Let it go deep into our hearts, Lord. And Jesus, find its mark in our lives. Oh, we praise you. Lord, there are those that need your healing touch in this meeting. And Lord, as we sit in your presence and as we open our hearts to you, Lord, we pray there too you'll show us your glory, Lord. Lord, we know that you alone are able to heal and to establish us in the health, the life that we need. And so, Lord, we just want to keep our hearts open. We want to be in faith, and we want to just get out of the way and let you move. Do it tomorrow, Lord, in our meeting as people come on these campgrounds. We pray that right from the start, people will sense that God is in the midst. They'll sense, they'll be drawn into your presence, Lord. Oh, that the Spirit of God will melt hearts. The Spirit of God will break bondages. Lord, that you will move into the needs in our lives, Lord, with your rich supply. Lord, we pray that people will leave this place knowing that God has met them and that there's no other explanation for it, Lord. And you will get all the glory. And then we'll be able to say, who is like unto thee, Lord among gods? We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. You know, I'd like to sing that chorus with you. Do you know that? Who is like unto thee, O Lord among gods? It's very worshipful. It comes right here, right out of Exodus 15. And then the next verse is, there is none like thee, O Lord among gods. Let's see where we can find a key for that. Three flats. Who is like unto thee, O Lord among gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Who is like unto thee?
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. When Jesus comes, when Jesus comes,
hallelujah,
tempters proudly throw. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the glow and fills the light with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Praise God. We need to realize that God is glorified by working that way. It's not just a matter of that we want to experience his power and so on. Through that story in Exodus, God began to be glorified when they couldn't match anything that he did. Praise God. And so, yes, we benefit by it, but he gets glory when he's able to manifest himself like no other. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand together. We can just commit ourselves to the Lord for tonight. Let's prepare ourselves for tomorrow. Let's get to bed in God. Just keep our hearts open to him throughout the night. Pray, pray, Lord, come to us tomorrow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just look to him yet. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we praise you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Wonderful God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Andrew, would you pray with us, please, in closing? Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God. There is no God like unto you. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we want to experience you and your power.
Yes, Lord.
As you desire to move, the story we looked at tonight, we know that you desire to move among us.
Yes,
you have a work that you desire to accomplish. Tonight, Lord, for tonight, for the rest of the time, as long as we are here, we say yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We say, come, Lord. We say, Lord, you're welcome here, Lord. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in our hearts.
Yes. Yes, Lord, you are welcome, Jesus.
And we want you to do the work that you want to do.
Yes.
We want to be available and open. Give us expectant hearts, Lord Jesus. Believing hearts. Help us to come to each meeting with faith and with a great desire. For you, as we heard, for you to be glorified.
Praise your name. Praise your name.
Pray that you be with us this evening, Lord. In your name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you all. Staff, please remain. Amen.